The following program is not medical, psychological, or psychiatric advice of any kind. It is for entertainment purposes only. For any of that, please contact your doctor. On today's episode of Dream Meetings, why would a father encourage his daughter to join him in a room filled with dangerous people? What do reoccurring dreams of being chased mean for a man through various stages of his life? And could the anxiety of what lies on the other side of the bridge linger in dreams, holding a person back from their full potential? All that and more on today's episode of Dream Meetings. 1-800-606-7193 is our phone number here at Dream Meetings. Call in your dream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We may talk about it on a future episode of the program. Of course, you can always write in on our website, which is dreamingradio.com. That's D-R-E-A-M-I-N-G radio.com. And you can submit your dream to us that way. So lots of ways to get those into us. If you're liking the program, if you're enjoying this thing called Dream Meetings, now that we're about, 27, 28 episodes in? What are we on right now? What is today's episode? It is episode number 28. There you go, episode 28. If you like this program and you want it to continue on, please consider supporting us through Patreon. That link to do so is on our website at dreamingradio.com. Click the support link at the top of the page, and you can support us that way. It's $1 an episode is the way you support. And with doing that, you get advanced episodes of the program. As we make them, they go to Patreon. They're released normally through like iTunes and everything. But the episodes as we make them go to Patreon. So you get episodes in advance, a private RSS feed there, as well as a couple extras, fast pass to send your dreams into us and get to the top of the list of the episodes faster. And it's the right thing to do. If you like the program, support it. Without the support, we could not do this thing called Dream Meetings. All right, on to our first caller of the day at 1-800-606-7193. Hi, you're on the air. Let's hear your dream.
I had one last year around the same time, and I just want to go into detail a little bit about that. They're very similar in the way they kind of lay out. Anyways, last year around winter time, this time, like December, I had a dream that I was riding down this tunnel on a horse, on a white horse, and I had armor on, like a knight, almost like Joan of Arc armor. Anyways, I'm riding down this tunnel, and I'm riding fast, and I have a torch, like a lit flame, and it's dark around me, and I have another rider beside me for a little bit, trying to persuade me not to go down this tunnel. And I don't listen to him, and I keep riding this horse with this flame and my armor on, and I ride all the way down to the bottom, and he doesn't follow me to the bottom of this tunnel. And when I reach the end of the tunnel in the dream, it opens up to this big cavern, that just is beyond, it's beyond big. In my dream, I was so tiny in the cavern. And there was sand. I noticed that once I got off the horse, the ground was sand. And there was something in the cavern with me that was huge, just huge, like a beast or something. And every time it breathed, or it would breathe or exhale, it would send the sand swirling around me, and I'd have to protect the flame that I had. And that was kind of the end of that dream, and that was around last year. But I just remember it being so vivid, and when I woke up, I was just floored about that dream. It was just a really, really weird dream.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that dream with us. And I know there's a part two to this call, and we'll jump into that after we talk about part one. It's difficult to analyze multiple dreams off of the same call without pausing to first talk about them, so we can kind of keep on the same mind track here. I would say that this dream, in my opinion, I think what you're looking at here would be a situation in your life where I'm guessing you were venturing into some sort of territory, some sort of experience, some sort of place in your life that you were going, that others may have been warning you about, that you felt you were prepared for, that maybe deep within you were questioning that you weren't super ready for, as everyone is when we're jumping into new things. There's always going to be an element of us that's going to be somewhat unsure, while maybe the thick overcoating, the coat of armor, you know, tells us we're ready to do this, but there's still going to be doubts. We all have that. That's a normal thing. And I think it's a healthy thing to have a healthy amount of skepticism about anything that we jump into in life, just to be prepared for the what ifs. So I'm thinking there might have been something in your life going on to that degree where you were ready to go. You felt you were ready to go. Others were telling you, no, you're not quite ready, but you were going to do it anyway. And maybe you were jumping into that and you got there. And maybe there was some turbulence, something there that maybe clouded your judgment, maybe clouded how you saw things. This is the sand and the beast, if you will, that's down there, that may have been a bit turbulent, but you were still making it through. Or it may have been a precursor to just the anxiety and the fear of the what if, of what is down there. What if there is something that's going to cloud this journey, that's going to make it difficult, that's going to be dangerous in some sort of a sense, that you were just anticipating and feeling the anxiety of before even going down that path. I'm thinking this is just your mind kind of working through that. You were ready to go into something. Others were saying, I don't know, let's be skeptical about this. But you were ready to go in your own mind. That would be my take on this dream. This is a common thing, especially with younger people and their families, and the younger ones ready to go out there into the world, or just living their life as a younger person and taking on challenges and taking on life as an adult. And sometimes the parental figures may be saying, no, you might, you know, as a parental figure would in a lot of cases, right or wrong. You know, sometimes there can be certainly overreaction and over skepticism of don't do this, it's dangerous. Even if it's really not dangerous, it's just more so sometimes protection, if you don't want someone around you to get hurt emotionally or physically, possibly. But sometimes people just need to live their life and go out and experience things, learn from them, and live that life. But you may have those people around you saying, whoa, maybe it's safer over here, which in some cases, good warning. But you have to take that that judgment and weigh it for what it is, for who it's coming from, and if that person made what type of decisions in their own life. Did they make decisions to hold themselves back out of fear, or did they make decisions that maybe were slightly riskier and that paid off, or maybe they made some risky decisions and it did not pay off? To each their own. Everybody's going to make decisions in life. Some are going to be good, some are going to be bad, but it's a matter of how we handle those decisions and the consequences of those decisions that matters even more than the decisions themselves. You can sometimes be someone who makes a ton of bad decisions, but if you learn from them and it gives you a better footing in life, a better life, because you learned from them and applied those lessons to future decisions, that can be 100 times better than someone who makes no bad decisions but sits completely on the safe side of life but never makes the decision at all. Just sits there and says, nah, I'm just not going to make the decision. I'm just going to sit here on the bench and never really try and put myself out there, put myself in any situation that could be remotely, dangerous or have any sort of consequences or expose themselves to the possibility of a decision not going their way. It's better to live life, in my opinion, and then learn from those decisions versus not at all. Thank you for sharing that. And let's go to the second part of your call, because I know you had another dream you wanted to talk about. Let's hear it. Hi.
Anyways, this year, I had a dream that was very, very similar to that in just the way that things played out. And this year I had a dream where, and it was just a little bit ago, where I was on a boat, a big boat, in the ocean. And it was a stormy night, and there were people on the boat with me, and they pushed me off. And I had a weight with me, or a rock, or something that I knew I had to hold on to. I was being pushed off the boat, but willingly, but not, you know, I wasn't, I don't know. I knew I was going to be pushed off, and they pushed me off into the ocean with this weight that I was holding on to. I wasn't attached to it. I was just holding on to it. And I went into the ocean, and the waters were calm once I fell into the ocean. And as I was falling, and it just, I was just falling, like floating to the bottom. I was going fast, but it wasn't like jarring. It wasn't a jarring fast. And as I was floating to the bottom, I just remember seeing all like the light slowly fade, and there was whales. There was big, big whales, humpback whales. And the closer I got to the bottom, the less there were whales, and the more there were giant squids everywhere that were just trying to grab me. And before I reached the bottom, or not the bottom, but what was just complete darkness, I let go of the weight, and I started to float back up. I just let it go before I got to the darkness. And it was just everything, the ocean was just, was vast. Like the cavern was that I just see so many similarities between what I was doing and what was happening in this dream as the same dream that I had last year around the same time. And I'm just, I'm wondering what it means, because I'm pretty young. I'm early 20s, and I am working a job that I don't necessarily want to do forever. I have a college degree that I'm not using, and I'm wondering if maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. I'm in and out of relationships. I'm struggling with depression occasionally. I'm kind of just at a lot of crossroads in my life, and I'm wondering if those have anything to do with the dreams that I've had last year and this year. So, yeah, any advice or insight that you have to these dreams would be really helpful, Tony. And yeah, thank you for having these amazing podcasts. And I plan on becoming an EPP member on your ghost podcast soon. So thank you. Bye.
Again, I think a lot of this, you're exactly right. It ties into the first dream that you had. And I'm wondering if this is now kind of step number two, because you had this dream after the first one, like a year after the first one. And now you've kind of dived into that path that the first dream almost kind of foretold the anxiety of. And now you're in there. And this is almost like you're on the boat. You're out there. You're doing your thing. And there's still kind of the anxiety, which you're going to have at that age. You're going to have in your early 20s of, is this right? Is this normal? Are things going okay? And, you know, barring something really off and bad going on that shouldn't be. There's a lot of new territory that you're exploring, and a lot of it's going to feel different, and it's going to be nerve-wracking, and it's going to be anxiety-provoking, especially if you're prone to those sort of things. There's going to be a lot of second guessing going on. But just know that if you're doing the right things and you're surrounded by the right people and there's a good compass there, keep going forward, because the second guessing is going to naturally happen. Giving in to the second guessing is what, in most cases, will hold you back. So it's completely normal to be feeling uneasy about what's going on in your life, as long as it's you know, healthy, normal things going on in your life. But it will always make you second guess. Is this normal? Because it's new things, it's new experiences that you're going through. So your mind's trying to register and process all of it and make sense of the world around you and your path going forward. I hope that helps. Thank you for calling in. 1-800-606-7193 is our phone number here at Dream Meetings to share your dream with us. Be happy to talk about it, give you some feedback. Of course, you can also write it on the website at dreamingradio.com. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony. This is like my third time trying to re-record. my name is Erin. I've called into your Real Ghost Stories Online podcast a couple of times, and I believe my second time calling into your Dream Meetings podcast. I had this dream about Okeechobee, and it was me and my best friend Tori and Tori's boyfriend Isaac. We were all sitting in their bedroom, hanging out and talking, and suddenly it sounded like there was like a knocking at the front door. And knocking very quickly turned into banging, which very quickly turned into somebody trying to get the door open, but the door was locked. So, you know, you can imagine going like that. And I just was like, you know, you can stay here. I'm going to go and check it out and see what's going on. And my perspective switched from my perspective to Isaac's perspective. And he walked out of the bedroom and into the living room and up the front door. And he looked at the little peephole and he saw three people standing outside. And they were all relatively, like, short and stout. And they were dressed head to toe in black. And they had, like, black bandanas covering their nose and their mouth. So all the people could see really were their eyes. And they each had weapons. Like, one had a baseball bat, and the other had, like, a 2x4, and the other had, I think, like, a crowbar, you know, something like that. And it was obvious that they were there to, you know, cause harm to the people inside the apartment. And they started screaming, you know, like, open the door, we know you're in there, open up. And Isaac comes back into the bedroom and he shuts the bedroom door, and Tori goes, hey babe, what's going on? Like, what's wrong? So you know, you look really freaked out, you look like you stand up. And Isaac is like, you know, just stay here, stay quiet, I'm calling 911. And all of a sudden we hear the front door break open and we hear, you know, the guys yelling for us all to come out into the living room. And out of nowhere, I hear my dad's voice, and my dad comes up to the bedroom door, and he starts, like, gently knocking on the door and saying, you know, like, you guys come out, it's okay, you know, there's nobody here, there's no reason for you guys to call the police. And I go to open the door, and, you know, even at that point, Isaac is like, wait, no, Joe, it's a trick. And I go to open the door, and right as I'm opening the door, I wake up. I have no idea what any of it means. I don't know, you know, like, why my perspective changed. I don't know what those people could have been representing or, like, why my dad was trying to trick us into thinking we were safe or any of that. Tori and I are both going through some really stressful things right now in our work lives and our personal lives. There's the money issues and really uncertain of, like, what's going to happen in the near future. I don't know if it has something to do with that, but any insight that you could give would be fantastic. I love both of your podcasts, and, you know, I love hearing all the stories, and I like hearing myself on these things, too. That's pretty cool. But I hope you have a great rest of your day. Thanks, Tony. Bye.
Thanks for calling in and sharing that dream with us. I think it's really a dream that's about some sort of anxiety or fear of betrayal, of being led down the wrong path by someone you trust. Now, I'm not saying that it's your dad that you're afraid of that's leading you into some sort of path of not trusting him. I think that he more so was symbolic of an image of a person who you otherwise would trust and who you feel would not normally betray you. But yeah, I think you have to take a look at what's going on in your life at the time of the dream and take a look at what, or who rather, I would say, around you may be not the best, may possibly be leading you in directions that you know you should not be going, that you otherwise trust. I think that's where the symbolism of, you know something bad is outside, you know it's not good, it's not great at all. You've been trying to just kind of keep your distance from it, and you have been, but then it kind of creeps closer, you get away from it, and then there's that trusting voice saying, it's okay, come on out here. No need to call the police, everything's going to be just fine. And it's someone you trust, it's a voice you trust, and you should trust. So why on earth would they be leading you into something very negative? And that's where I think the dream is going. I think there's something going on in your life, someone around you in your life that may not be the best of influences, for lack of trying to not sound like a parent, where it's like, well, I don't think those children are the best influences. I think you need new friends. I think it's just take a look at the relationships you have. We've all had things like that. You still do as an adult. And sometimes it's like, this person may not be the best for me. I'm not saying it's a significant other. I'm not saying anything like that. It could just be a friend, an acquaintance, a coworker, whatever. But there's something I think there that's you're questioning the judgment of, and questioning how close you should be with that person, because it could lead to something negative. Not necessarily three people with crowbars and baseball bats coming through your window or coming through your door at night, but something that's not so good. So I'd take a look at that, and I think that might be the manifestation of it in your dream. Thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us here at Dream Meanings. 1-800-606-7193, our phone number to call in and share your dream. Or, of course, you can do it right through our website, right in at dreamingradio.com. That's also where you can support our show. Click on the Patreon banner and support us. The setup on this show is $1 is collected from you as a supporter every time we release a new episode, which is about once a week. So that's if you like the show and you can throw a buck at it when we release a new one every week, greatly appreciate that. Plus, you get the episodes as we release them. As I post them, you get access to them. So roughly about 4 to 5 a month is really, you know, so you're talking like $5 max typically a month to support the show. But a buck an episode is all it is. So if you like this, consider throwing a buck in the kitty and allowing me to continue doing this, because I love doing the show. But we do need to make it financially viable to keep up with for the bandwidth and everything else that goes along with doing an audio podcast of this nature. Let's get another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony. I've been listening for quite a while now. Found you on Spotify. You listen to you on a lot of road trips and stuff like that. It's always entertaining. I appreciate what you guys do. So to dive kind of right into it, I had a dream growing up from time I was just before 10 up into adulthood. The last time I had this dream was probably about a year ago. So the dream is, the dream always starts out the same, where I'm standing in the middle of this kind of large yard. It's not quite a field because it's, you know, it's mowed, it's finished. And I look around and there's kind of some buildings, but like almost like a summer camp kind of setup. So there's like some like log cabins and like, you know, a play area. And I'm standing there and it's just quiet, sun's out. There's like a lake in front of me with like a small road, like kind of dirt road going along the lake around it. And I hear this noise behind me and I turn around and there's just kids running across the yard at me. And I kind of freeze and they come rushing past me. But then one of them stops and he goes, "Join us." And this is where it starts getting weird is, every time, every dream is the exact same way. It never changes. So he'll say, "Join us." And I go to walk and he's like, "No, just pick your legs up." And I will pick my legs up as if something's holding me in the air. And then I just start like not levitating, but like floating. So like I'm moving, but I'm still. And we're going down the hill and then we stop and hit the ground. He's like, "Now jump." And then I jump. But like I'm able to jump, you know, like 50 yards at a time. I'm like bounding, and it's kind of, you know, it's kind of fun. I was blowing my mind in the dream, and then that's when things start getting weird. So he stops and grabs my arm, and I look at him, and he looks like terrified, and I look at him, and we don't say anything, but there's just somehow I'm aware that something's not right. And without him saying, "Hey, something's wrong," obviously. And so I hear like a thunder, but it's not like a normal thunder. It's kind of like a crashing, rolling sound. And the dark, and it like within a flash, the sky goes dark, but not pitch black. It's like a dark, it's not even like a storm. It's hard to explain, but it's a deep darkness, but it's like a dark gray. And he looks at me and he goes, "Run." And I for some reason, I just follow him. And so the little dirt road next to the lake, we run. And at this point, we can't do the jumping, levitating thing anymore. And so we're running, and we get to this little dirt road. And he keeps looking past me, but I'm too scared to look back. And we're running and running and running. And it kind of angles to the left, and we're starting to get into a wooded area. And then that's when I see a house, and he goes, quick, go inside. And we run inside, and it just looks like a normal, you know, country farmhouse. And then we run inside, and he slams the door shut behind me, and things start rumbling. And it's rumbling and rumbling and rumbling, and things are starting to shake in the house. And he throws a closet door open, and we run into the closet, and he shuts the door, and it's dark, but for some reason I can see. Not like night vision, but it's just like, you know, whenever you like walk into a dark basement and you can't quite see everything, but you can make things out. It's kind of that aspect. But I make out that there's shotguns along one of the walls, and he hands you one. He's like, we got to use these. And I say something along the lines of like, you know, I'm just a kid. What am I supposed to do with this? And he's like, just grab them. And I'm like, grab what? And he points to the ground, and there's shotgun shells rolling around on the ground, but they're rapidly moving around, like almost if you walked into, you know, a cockroach-infested room and turned a light on, they're just rapidly moving around the ground, and I can't catch them, and then it goes dead quiet, and he's like, we have to move. And so we come busting out of the closet, and he's gone. I can't see him. He's gone. I don't know where he's at. I'm terrified. The shotgun's no longer in my hands, and I'm just kind of standing in this hallway, and I'm facing the wall in front of me from outside the closet, and to my left is an open area, and to my right is the door we came in. So I turn left, and I run, but it's weird. Like, I rapidly move. Like, I go to run, and all of a sudden, I'm in the kitchen, and I'm standing in the kitchen. The windows are blacked out. I can't see anything, but there's, like, a dull light throughout the room. And all of a sudden, I just start hearing this, like, this menacing buzzing noise, almost like you just stuck your head in a beehive. It's just, like, there's this overwhelming, deafening buzzing noise. And I'm looking around, and I see almost, like, a jagged triangle hole in the wall. And there's crack coming off each point of the triangle. And so, for some reason, I just know that I have to look into this hole. So I start making my way to the hole, and when I get about 6 to 10 inches from the hole, all of a sudden the hole turns into flies and flies away. And then every time I have this dream, I feel it. I can feel like this sharp pain in my back, and then I wake up in a cold sweat, and I'm terrified. I mean, even at, you know, 26 years old, last year was the last time I had this dream, 26 years old, I'd wake up, cold sweats, teary-eyed, terrified, almost like I'm a kid again, and like I just want my parents. It's just overwhelming fear is inside of me, and I usually end up it usually ends up keeping me up the rest of the night because I can't shake the feeling. So yeah, that's my dream. I have no idea what it could possibly mean. My childhood had its ups and downs, but I never really went through anything traumatic, and there's nothing I can really tie to it. Because, like I said, I've had this dream from the time I was 9, 10 years old up until now. So this dream's been going on 15 years. And it's periodic, you know. It happens almost all – I mean, I've never went, like, a long time without having the dream. It happens 2-3 times a year my whole life. So I've never been to a summer camp. You know, I grew up in the boonies of Missouri. So, I mean, we never really had summer camps or anything. You just went outside and played. So yeah, like I can't think of anything that would cause me to dream about a summer camp and then for some reason it going, you know, wrong. And then there's just this evilness. And I just, for my whole life, I've, you know, wondered what this dream meant. I mean, I've talked to my parents, they're baffled. They have no clue. You know, I've talked to, you know, my significant others over the years, you know, telling them, hey, you know, we'd have those conversations like, tell me something about you kind of thing. And I've never gotten an answer. I usually just get like a bug-eyed look and a shrug, like, well, I don't know. But yeah, if you guys could give me a little insight, that would be great. And I'll be listening and keep it up. thank you for doing what you do, guys. Bye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that that dream with us. I think there's a fairly straightforward explanation to this, and it goes down to really kind of what it's about. You're being chased, essentially, in the dream. That's the kind of overwhelming thing that keeps happening every time you have this dream. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean when you're being chased in a dream? It means, typically, that you're avoiding a situation that you think is not conquerable, that you think you can't handle and you can't take on. And that's common. I mean, there's situations in all of our lives that we're kind of like, I don't know if I can do that. And sometimes it takes an extra push or person to push you into it. Then you realize, oh, it is conquerable. And you kind of, it's not meant negatively at all, but I can just kind of hear it in your voice a little bit. You kind of strike me as a guy who's nice guy, you know, easygoing. You're out there, you're living your life, but yeah, you may not want to take on the stuff that seems, you know, really, you know, that's beyond me. And I get that. I'm like that too on a lot of things. And I don't know what it is about the candor of our voices that we can tell these things, but it's just, you just sound like a nice, normal guy who's like, that one over there, I'm going to handle this. I know I can handle this, but this over there, I don't think so. I'm going to hold off on that. And I think a lot of us have these things. And these situations that we're presented with, where it's like, well, I could go down that road, but I'm pretty safe here. I get that. But I think sometimes we sit there and we ponder on those things, and we never actually go down those roads. And the fact that we don't go down those roads, probably more so than we should, it eats away at us, and it makes us feel like, well, maybe I should try it or whatnot. And when you have those situations in life, especially if this is kind of a reoccurring thing, different situations over the years that you're presented with, that you're not going down the roads because you think it's not conquerable, it's too difficult to handle, it weighs on us. And then sometimes after the fact, we look back going, maybe I should have handled that. Maybe I should have gone down that road. Not a lot of times we don't, but I think it's your mind trying to work through those situations of, should I take this challenge head on, or should I just keep going down this path and avoid this challenge? I'll be fine if I keep going down this road, but over here it could be better, but I don't know if I can handle that. And that's just, it's an insecurity thing. And a lot of us have that, and there's nothing wrong with it. But that's what I think this is representing and why it keeps representing itself. I don't think it's trying to pull up any sort of repressed childhood memory. I just think it's where your mind goes when you're presented with these situations of life in general. Thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate it. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Support us through Patreon. And get that link on our website, which is dreamingradio.com. Submit your dream to us at 1-800-606-7193, or, of course, write it on the website, dreamingradio.com. That wraps up today's episode of the show. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening to another episode of Dream Meanings.